Good morning, everybody. Welcome to worship today. It's nice to have you here. Today is Holy Trinity Sunday. Last week we celebrated Pentecost, the day the Spirit came to the early church. Because it's Holy Trinity, we celebrate in the church Father, Son, and Holy Spirit coming together. And so we light the Christ candle. Ah, pretty good. You guys clean up pretty well. Regina, good morning. Let's greet one another in the Lord, okay? Good to see you. Nice to see you. Good morning. Good to have you here. Good. No, that's okay. That gives me a chance to explain. Morning, Steve. Hi, Melody. Morning. Good morning, big guy. Give me five. All right. Nice to see you. Darwin's going to direct the choir this morning. Yay. Nice to have you. Good. Say, this is a special week in the church. We've got Vacation Bible School. And usually we have 45, 50 kids running around here. Remember in the old days, did you ever go to Vacation Bible School? Oh, you don't know what you missed out on. You had to sit there and behave yourself. You didn't move. If you moved your hands or touched someone next to you, meow. At least that's the Vacation Bible School I went to, and finally my mom was in charge of it. Finally, in about the fourth grade, she said, Jimmy, you stay home. But this week I get to play the part of Moses. So, Charlton Reisenden. And you should see my staff. I'm going to put it down and we're going to part the Red Sea. And I can't wait to excite the kids. Charlton Reisenden. This morning after coffee, we've got to take down the chairs and the tables, and this whole building becomes the Egyptian desert. So if you are able, please stay and help take down the chairs and tables, and we'll make it ready for receiving the kids. Next Sunday there's only one worship service at 9 o'clock, and we're going to burn the mortgage, okay? We'll also have a church service Saturday night. If you can't make it Sunday morning, we won't burn the mortgage that night. Although, you never know. But 5 o'clock on Saturday night, we have worship, and then on next Sunday morning, the bishop will be here. I hope you're on your best behavior. I already see people going, uh-uh. But that's a great day. In the history of this church, in the great scheme of things, this church was formed house church in 1919. 1929, they built the building down behind the Malmo store there. And in 1996, they built the original building. And in 2007, April 20th, we dedicated the meeting rooms and the fellowship hall. And I don't know if you remember this, but we also approved the building of a sanctuary. The idea was we're going to knock this wall out and build a sanctuary that would sit about 250 people, and it would be kind of an auditorium. So, you know, this is kind of like a Baptist church. We stand behind the preacher, which isn't bad. You guys should lead the singing every Sunday. That's a good idea, isn't it? Yeah. Anyway, and a fellowship hall here, or not a fellowship hall, but a family room, kind of a fireside room, a meeting place. So those plans are out there. I hope you don't lose the dream. But next week we burn the mortgage, and it's a historical moment in the life of this church. So one service at 9 o'clock. I think that's all we need to announce. Everyone is invited to receive communion. If you're unable to come forward, just let the usher know, and we'll be glad to bring the communion back to you. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious Lord, we thank you for your love and for the smiles that we carry with us and the joy that's in our hearts. And even though it rains outside and the mosquitoes come, they're nothing compared to the plagues of 1,000 years B.C. when Moses led the people free. Today we are reminded that we are free in you. We are free to enjoy your love, to share your love, free to live the lives you have called us to live, free to respond to your goodness. And so gather us together and make us one as we gather at your holy table. Send your Spirit, Lord, for we pray this in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is This Little Light of Mine, 677. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse. Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God who forgives all our sin, whose mercy endures forever.
Amen.
In the presence of God who sees our hearts and our minds, let us confess our sin. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess, God, our strength. We confess that we are captive to the power of sin that dwells within us. We put ourselves first and others last. What we think will make us happy leaves us longing for more. Even when we want to do what is good, we find ourselves doing the opposite. Rescue us from death's grip on our lives. Raise us up day by day, that we may be alive to God in Christ Jesus. Amen. Sisters and brothers, all have fallen short by the glory of God. Therefore, we are justified by God's grace as a gift. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, in whom we have forgiveness of sin, life, and salvation.
Amen.
Let us join in the prayer of the day. Almighty God, our Father, dwelling in majesty and mystery, renewing and fulfilling creation by your eternal Spirit, and revealing your glory through the Lord Jesus Christ, cleanse us from doubt and fear, and enable us to worship you with your Son and Holy Spirit, one God, living and reigning, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated as we invite the choir to sing their praises.
Let me see. You see the way that is hard to tell. Open my mind. So here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God. You're altogether lovely,
altogether worthy,
altogether wonderful to me.
Thank you, choir. The first reading this morning has been changed to 2 Corinthians 13, verses 11 through 13. Paul closes a challenging letter to the Corinthians with an appeal to Christian fellowship grounded in the triune harmony of Christ's grace, God's love, the Spirit's partnership. Finally, brothers and sisters, farewell. Put things in order. Listen to my appeal. Agree with one another. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Psalm today is Psalm 8. We will be reading responsively. And where you see a bold R, please repeat the refrain. O Lord, Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
You, whose glory is chanted above the heavens, out of the mouths of infants and children, you have set up a fortress against your enemies to silence the foe and avenge it.
When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars you have set in their courses.
What are mere mortals that you should be mindful of them? Human beings that you should care for them? How majestic is your name in all the earth?
Yet you have made them little less than divine. With glory and honor you crown them.
You have made them the rule over servants and hands. You have put all things under their feet.
All flocks and cattle, even the wild beasts of the field.
The birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and whatever passes along the paths of the sea.
O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
How majestic is your name in all the earth.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this Trinity Sunday is found in the 28th chapter of St. Matthew, beginning with the 16th verse. After his resurrection, Jesus summons his remaining disciples and commissions them to baptize and teach all nations in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. One of my pastor friends said that he had never preached on greet one another with a holy kiss. He challenged me, "I bet you never done that either." I says, "You're right, I never have and I don't intend to." He says, "I challenge you that you preach on greet one another with a holy kiss. I bet you can't do it." And I said, "Well, let's see." And I gave up my favorite gospel lesson, the Great Commission, "Go into all the world baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and teaching all that I have said and done," Jesus says. Last thing he says to his disciples. So I took on the challenge. I heard recently about a young couple at a very conservative Bible college who were very attracted to each other. But they had been brought up to behave, to believe that they needed some scripture verse to justify every behavior and their actions. So one day the young man said to his girl, "Boy, do I want to kiss you, but I just can't find the right Bible verse." He said he tried to use this one from Corinthians to justify it, greet each other with a holy kiss, but he knew that that was applied to greeting each other in church after worship, so that wouldn't work. Finally, however, one night, tired of waiting, the girl grabbed him and kissed him, and he says, wait a second, we've got to have a Bible verse. And she said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Now, I'm not going to ask what you would have done or what you did when you were young and in love for a kiss, but that would make for some interesting coffee discussion, I think. So Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. Huh? This is his last letter, his last verses in chapter 13, the last part of his letter. And he writes words that go like this: "Finally, brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss." The young man was right that this is a verse that has to do with what we should do in church. Huh? But it's interesting that we should encounter this text on Father's Day. Greet one another with a holy kiss. What could be holier than a father or a mother kissing his young child, huh? Well, let's get into this text. As we've already said, our text is directed not to families and not to sweethearts, but to one another in church. This is a rather upbeat closing to Paul's letter. If you take it in isolation like we have, it might lead you to think that Paul was writing to one of his most successful, loving, caring congregation, but nothing could be further from the truth. Paul's letters to the Corinthian church reveal a church where there was all kinds of divisions, where there were personality cults, where there were cliques. In fact, the strife was so intense that some of the believers in the Corinthian church were taking each other to court. There was at least one case where there was gross immorality in the church. There were drunks in the church. There were adulterers in the membership. There was unbecoming behavior at the Lord's table, who should take and who shouldn't and when they should take it and so forth. There was a host of minor and major violations of normal Christian practices. And to top it off, some of the more established members expressed pride over their tolerance over the unconventional practices of their non-conforming brothers and sisters. The Corinthian church was a prime example of a church that was reaching out to pagans. And so people were bringing their pagan belief systems into the church, and it was having a difficult time converting them to Christian lifestyles. So there were a lot of people with a lot of rough edges in this Corinthians church. Most churches today don't have very many Christians with rough edges like that. That's not because we're superior to the Corinthian church. It's because we're not converting very many pagans. Find a congregation filled with young people full of tattoos and black leather jackets and body piercings all over, and then you might have a church with that's a little rough around the edges, huh? That's what Paul did. That's what the Corinthians did. These recently converted believers made his life a lot more complicated because there were fires to be put out almost all the time. He was answering questions about marriage and about celibacy and about food offered to idols and drinking and diet. Life was never dull in that Corinthian church. There was all kinds of activity being stirred all the time, and it sure made life interesting for a preacher. Probably was better, though, than presiding over a cemetery, a church that's dead. So Paul gives thanks at the end of his letters to the people at Corinth. Why? Because this church was fulfilling the wishes of his master. Remember when Jesus said in Luke, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, don't invite your friends, Your brothers or sisters, your rich neighbors, because they'll just invite you back. And go out to the streets, the highways and byways. Give a banquet for the poor and the crippled and the lame and the blind and the outcasts, and you'll be blessed. And another occasion, Christ said, it's not for the healthy that I come. They don't need a doctor. It's to the sick. I've come not to call the righteous, but I'm calling sinners to repentance. It's those outcasts, those broken people that he wants. And that's kind of the situation in Corinth. Christ also is calling us to reach out to those who have a few rough edges. We don't do that too much in church anymore. It's much easier to be a haven for respectable people than a hospital for the unredeemed. Church at Corinth was really a dysfunctional church with many dysfunctional Christians. And it's with that background in mind that we listen to these words that Shar read. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. Strive for full restoration. Encourage one another. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. So in his last words to the church in Corinth, Paul doesn't chastise them. He doesn't browbeat them. Instead, he offers positive words of encouragement, love, caring. There are occasions when he did chastise them in the scriptures there in the Corinthian books. There were times when they needed to be chastised, but more than anything else, he was encouraging them to focus on what was central to the faith. Love for one another and love for God. That's what was central to the faith. Church today needs to be focused on what's central to the faith. What's central to our faith? Love for God and love for one another. They said to the early believers, when a church group came into the place, they said, "See how they love one another." And we've all heard the song, "You Know They Are Christians by Their Love." But in fact, an early Christian writer, Tertullian, in the 3rd century, said, "See how they love one another." The love he's referring to is remember in the early church, if you read the book of Acts, people put everything in a common pot and they shared. We know that those communities shared their material blessings. They had them in common. They shared freely with those who were in need as part of their community. They gave and took care of whoever walked by. They helped each other down the road. We in the church today need to be more intentional in our love for one another, I think. I was reading a while back an article by Lee Iacocca. Remember, he was the head of GM for years and years. He was talking about the coach for the Green Bay Packers, Vince Lombardi, what it takes to make a winning team. And he asked Vince Lombardi, "How did you make a winning team?" Now, you should know how hard this is for me to share this story, because the worst thing about living in Minnesota is when Green Bay Packers sneak across the border, those fans. But this is what Vince Lombardi said. He says, "There are a lot of coaches with good ball clubs who know the fundamentals, who have plenty of discipline, but they don't win games." Then you come to the third ingredient that you need if you're going to win games. If you're going to play together as a team, you've got to love one another. That's what Vince Lombardi said. He said, you've got to love each other. Each player has to be thinking about the guy that's next to them. And if he's not thinking about the guy next to him, they're going to get run over. You're not doing your job. But you got to think about the guy next to you, and you got to love that guy right next to you, because if you don't hold up your spot, Paul Horning is going to get broken legs. Each player has to be thinking about the guy, saying to himself, if I don't block this guy, the next guy's going to get hurt. I have to do my job well in order that he can do his job well. The difference between mediocrity and greatness, says Lombardi, is the feeling these guys have for each other. Now, for a hard football coach like Lombardi to say it's about feeling, the feeling you have for the guy next to you, to me that says a lot.
If it's true in professional football, it's certainly true in the church. We've got to care for the person sitting next to us. The difference between mediocrity is great and greatness is the feeling we have for each other. We're Christians, and we're called to love each other. No one ever makes it alone in this world. St. Paul knew that. The only way that the church at Corinth could become what Christ wanted it to be was for them to have a love for each other. And so he writes, strive for full restoration, encourage one another, be of one mind, live at peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. The church at Corinth needed to focus on what was central to their faith, love for one another. Even more importantly, they needed to focus on their love for God. Rough edges are rarely smoothed over by criticism and by fault finding. We become what God wants us to be when we love. When we love God so much that we conform to the image of his Son. If we don't love Jesus and want to be like him, we're probably not going to take those rough edges off. There's a story told by Alice Gray about a father and his little daughter. His little daughter bought went to the dime store, I suppose they called it in those days, and bought a string of plastic pearls. And she wore those plastic pearls everywhere except when she took a bath, she took them off. When she went swimming, she took them off. But she wore them to bed, she wore them to kindergarten, she wore them all over. Well, the little girl had a daddy that loved her very much. He tucked her into bed every night, said her prayers with her, read a story. And then one night he asked the little girl, do you love me? Oh, yes, Daddy, you know that I love you. Then give me your pearls. And the little girl said, oh, Daddy, not my pearls, but you can have Princess. You know the horse that's in my set with the pink tail? You can have her. She's my favorite one. He says, no, that's okay. And about once a week, that daddy would ask for the same thing. Do you love me? Yes, Daddy, you know I love you. Then can you give me your pearls? And every time she would offer something else, something else, something else. Finally, one night, the little girl was sitting on her bed with tears running down her cheeks, and she took off her pearls and gave them to her daddy. And with tears gathering in his own eyes, this little Jenny's kind daddy reached out with one hand to take the pearls, and with the other he reached into his pocket and took out this velvet case and opened it up and gave her a string of pearls with real pearls, genuine pearls. He'd had them all the time. He was just waiting for her to give up the dime store stuff so that he could give her the genuine article, huh? As I read that story, it reminded me that our lives, with all their rough edges, are a lot like these plastic beads. When we give them to God, he gives us the pearl of great price, huh? The gift of his grace. His grace is what it's all about. When Christians with rough edges understand God's grace, that he loves us so much, he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He'll always take care of us. He'll always give us his power and strength. Then, when we understand that, we'll inevitably try to be the person that he created us to be. And that's why Paul's so enthusiastic about the church at Corinth. Because he remembered those things that were central to existence, love of God and love for each other. In our culture, men particularly rarely greet one another with a kiss. But we can still express our love with a handshake or a pat on the back. And as we leave this place today, our church today, I hope each of us will turn to somebody and express our appreciation for them. Because we too need to focus on that which is central to our faith. Love for God and love for each other. That's the bottom line. Greet one another with a holy kiss. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and forever. Amen. This time we'll invite the ushers to receive our offering. Let's join in singing hymn number 890.
Thank you.
Please rise. Let's join together in praying the offertory prayer, the top of page 6. Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings, as you have raised us to new life in Christ. Give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Strengthened by the Spirit who gives us words to speak and hearts that care, let us bring our hopes and needs to God who listens. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Almighty God, you send your people into the world as beacons of light and hope. Bless the ministry of churches everywhere, that they take strength from your promise to be with us always. Let us pray. With the word, you brought forth the majesty of creation, rolling hills, fragrant meadows, thundering seas. Inspire us to cherish and preserve them as stewards of your good land. Let us pray. Be with those in the path of violence and war. Guard them against harm. Give them a future with hope. Send your peace to the places that need it the most. Let us pray. Give strength to those bearing heavy burdens, addiction, mental illness, loneliness, and grief. Heal those whose bodies and souls are hurting. Especially remember in our prayers Wally, Skip, Darwin, and Dean, and Ron, and Mary, and those others in our lives who need your healing touch. Let us pray. Enable this congregation to support all families. Strengthen fathers and all who nurture, so that they guide with wisdom, gentleness, and grace. Let us pray. We ask your blessing upon our vacation Bible school this week. Be with all these children who will come. Let them know and hear of your love. Be with the leaders, teachers, the workers in the kitchen, and those who organize. Give them patience and a smile on their face. Be with our families these days, wherever they find themselves. Send your holy angels to keep them in your care. We give thanks for all the saints who rest eternally in your loving care. Enliven our witness by their example. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
We lift our prayers to you, God of mercy, confident that all things are in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Let's join in confessing our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And so we gather on this Father's Day, on this Trinity Sunday, ever mindful of Christ's presence in our life, how his Spirit lives in each one of us. At Jesus' Last Supper, he took bread and he gave it to his disciples, his family, and friends, saying, "Take and eat. This is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Again, everyone is welcome at the table of our Lord. If you prefer grape juice, it's the light liquid. We will dip our bread into the wine. If you are gluten intolerant, please ask the server and we will serve that to you. Table is set. Come, eat and drink. You three want to help? Want to help with? Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. We thank you, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have led us to our hearts to understand. With the saving body and blood of Jesus Christ, enliven us by your presence in this meal, that we may be your presence in the world, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. The God of all grace, who has called you to eternal glory in Christ, restore, support, strengthen, and bless you by the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
Go in peace. Christ is your light.
Thanks be to God.
Our closing hymn is 536. God be with you till we meet again.